All right, everybody. Hello, hello. Good afternoon, good evening, however, wherever you are. I wasn't going to do a podcast tonight, but the weather is overwhelmingly hot here in Pennsylvania, and I've not been able to cut my grass in way too long. So last night I talked to Dark Enlightenment, and we didn't really get to touch on the foreign policy stuff, which that's not really quite his squeeze. So we talked about plenty of other things. So you should go check out that show, almost 2 hours long. And D is just an awesome guy. I get a lot of good vibes from him, and every single time I see him on a show, he just always seems genuinely happy to be there and grateful to the host. So and I got that same feeling last night. So I figured we would talk about Trump, Iran, and Israel, and what exactly is going on, and how, I want to cover all angles of this, at least as far as I understand it, how some people are spinning it, how I'm kind of seeing it, and what the kind of play is here, because it's all very confusing. It's all over the board. Nobody knows exactly what's going on, but everybody has their spin of what's going on here. So, it's not going to be easy, but hopefully we can figure this out together. Okay, good. And I don't know if anybody noticed, but this camera is at a slightly different angle now because I got a new monitor. And I'll tell you what, I was using a 720p TV that I got like 15 years ago, and now I changed that, and it is insane how much better my camera and just everything on the computer looks, feels, all that stuff now ever since I changed the monitor. So, technology is great when you get better stuff with technology, and I'm kind of like a boomer when it comes to a lot of stuff. I like to keep it awfully simple. Now I'm starting to level up. So next is my computer's right here. I'll eventually start upgrade that stuff. So, anyways, if you guys want to help me do that and help continue to bring you quality information, quality podcasts, all that stuff, please consider donating through a super chat, through the link below, becoming a channel member for the lowly price of $2.99 a month. We will have another show to you probably Sunday morning, because that's Rock for Life. Rock for Life is Saturday night, and hopefully I'll have that all mixed up and to you guys for channel members only for the lowly price of $2.99 a month. One more time, I'll hopefully have that to you Sunday. I know I'm ranting and rambling quite a bit here, but I got to do my obligatory shilling. So make sure you go to all the links below to figure out what I got going on. We got plenty to cover today. I got a little poem to read and an announcement from a dear friend of the show as well that I want to share with everybody. So once again, go to tigerfitness.com, use code Kyle at checkout. There's a couple other links below where you can go take yourself to go get some awesome coffee, clothes, all that good stuff. Without further ado, guys, let's rock and roll right into the rest of today's show.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And hello, welcome back. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever, however you are. Hopefully everybody's doing well. A lot going on, and it also almost seems like there's nothing really going on. We're going to talk about Iran and Israel, but the first thing I wanted to touch on just a little bit is that Zoran, let me make sure I got his name right, Zoran Mamdani has become, what the hell? He's a politician, and he won the primary to be mayor up in New York. Democratic Socialist running for mayor. Okay, yeah, I got that right. I was pretty sure, but I wasn't 100% sure. Not really an insane amount to say on this, other than this seems to be backlash for the Democrats kind of letting Gaza become what it is under the Democrats' watch. And now, obviously, Republicans don't really care about it. They'll pay lip service to like getting hostages out or ceasefires, but ultimately, the Republicans don't really care about Palestinians. And not that I'm sitting here waving the flag, you know, doing the protesting for Palestine. If you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know that hopefully you as a listener as well agree that we just shouldn't fund Israel, and we specifically shouldn't fund them while they're mass slaughtering men, women, and children to the tune of thousands with our taxpayer dollars. If they're doing it on their own, I would still probably be morally opposed to it, but I wouldn't quite have the passionate fervor that I do now, because right now the U.S. is co-signing everything that Israel does. So it seems pretty obvious. But this Zoran Mamdani character, I don't think he would be a big deal had the Democrats distanced themselves a little bit more from the Gaza disaster and came out a little bit more anti-war. Now, granted, this was never going to happen. Everybody knows this would have never happened, especially with Kamala Harris. I know that everybody's... I was thinking about this earlier today, and it was so funny to me that the line that some Republicans, honest to God, ran with was Kamala Harris would not pick Josh Shapiro because she's anti-Semitic. Her husband is a Jewish man. Either you got to believe she just did that as an act, which, hey, maybe I could believe that, or just, I don't know. It's so stupid. So stupid. It wasn't because she was anti-Semitic. It was because he probably doesn't have the name recognition nationally. He's only been governor here in Pennsylvania for a year or two. So what's he going to do? Give up his governorship to go be vice president and obviously lose, because it was completely obvious to, I think, anybody thinking that Kamala Harris was not going to win. I did say a few times throughout the election that you could never count on the Republicans to not completely screw everything up. And I still think you should never bet on the Republicans not completely screwing everything up. But the last minute switch from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris, there was just no way to spin that as some kind of victory. I just did not see that playing off well at all. And I think most reasonable people thought the same thing. And all the people who said, oh, they will never let Trump win. He was in once. He bowed the vast majority of the time. Even when he didn't, he still ultimately caved. Why wouldn't they let him in again? We kind of saw that, at least from my perspective, you could give me some pushback in this regards, because there was a little bit of, you know, deconstructing the civil rights regime by repealing, I forget the exact executive order that was put in place under Lyndon B. Johnson, if I remember correctly. And chat, you could please correct me if I'm mistaken here. But it seemed like after the first month or so, kind of back to business as usual. And now, you know, we're at this point where, so we got the Ukraine minerals deal, which just is dumb. Why are we getting ourselves further entangled with Ukraine? Covered this quite a bit with Scott Horton. And you know what? I guess while I plug Scott Horton, I should mention that actually when he was on the show last, he had mentioned this to me. And I just want to make sure all my listeners are aware. Scott Horton is re-releasing his show under the moniker Provoked. Debuts tomorrow with Daryl Cooper, and I think that is just awesome. I quote tweeted this, and I said I was, you know, absolutely thrilled that Scott had shared this with me when he did, because I think Scott has a lot of high profile stuff going on. I mean, he was literally, they just aired the episode today. I made it about halfway through, about the Lex Fridman podcast, where he debated Mark Dubowitz, I believe that's his name, on Iran's nuclear situation, which we're going to cover a little bit today. Just really awesome stuff. And there's another big show that Scott's going to be doing. I'm pretty sure everybody can guess what it is. It's not Joe Rogan, but we talked a little bit about that too, but I don't want to spoil all that. These aren't my stories to spoil, but just really good for our guy, Scott Horton. Obviously we love him, everything he's doing. This is like the year of Scott Horton. You know, last couple of years, Dave Smith did a lot, his profile raised. We love to see that as well. But Scott Horton getting his profile up and up and up just benefits all of us. So couldn't be happier for the guy. This is just really, really cool stuff. So, to put a little cap on this stuff, awesome job for Scott Horton. And Zoran Mamdani really wouldn't be a big deal if Republicans would come out more so against the Israelis, and I think the Democrats would as well. There's like a loud minority in the Democratic base that's anti-Israel, or at least anti-Israel in this respect, but it's not really anything significant. Like, I don't think the Democrats are really considering that all that much. Clearly, because Kamala Harris ran on the platform that I'm not going to do anything different than Joe Biden. So I guess just to put one more little bow on this is to say that just it is never a bad time to kick the Democrats when they're down and absolutely laugh at their abysmal failure that they are. So now we got all that out of the way. How is everybody doing? Hopefully everybody's doing well. Lots of good stuff going on around here. We postponed a Common Crown recording because my studio engineer, his dog had passed away, and that was very unfortunate. So we're trying to get stuff set back up. I have a bunch of shows lined up for all you guys in the coming weeks that are going to be very, very exciting. Some return guests, some new guests. I did have a guest that was scheduled, pretty big guest, that was supposed to come on this Sunday, but she's going to be traveling. So I'll follow up with her in a few weeks and we'll schedule it again. Should be very, very interesting. And I'm glad that Misty Winston had set me and this specific person up, but that'll be for a little bit downtimes. But how I'm kind of seeing the stuff in the Middle East playing out right now has been interesting. And I have to say my perspective shifted from about a year ago. And I'm honestly surprised that no one has really thrown too much shit my way for constantly changing my perspective on things, because it would be somewhat warranted, right? I change my mind a decent bit because I'm presented with new evidence all the time that contradicts previous held positions that I don't find tenable any longer because of the reality of the situation. So why am I mentioning any of this right now? Well, if you would have asked me a year ago if Iran would have struck Israel, what would have Trump's reaction would have been? My reaction a year ago would have been Trump will face the, or, you know, wipe him off the face of the earth. He'll absolutely destroy Tehran. We'll be at war with Iran in a heartbeat. Was that entirely unfounded? No, I don't think so, because of his rhetoric throughout the campaign. And as Connor and I talked about, I don't remember if when he was on. Israel did not strike Iran. The U.S. didn't strike Iran when I had Connor on, but obviously they did within the last couple of weeks. And I still think that was absolutely the wrong decision by Trump. I want to make sure I got the three areas right. Sorry, give me one second to Google this. Iranian facilities struck by the U.S. Sorry. We'll just pull up an article here and we'll read real quick, because I just want to make sure that I am getting all this stuff right. Sorry, guys. Give me 1 minute. Okay, from Al Jazeera. U.S. military officials say Iran's facilities are destroyed after strike. Hegseth has attacked the media for questioning the efficacy of the U.S. bombings campaign, followed by a leak report. So if there's one pattern that I've observed with the Trump administration on specifically foreign policy, and especially with Pete Hegseth, it's just constant incompetence, and just he never looks like he's the brightest guy in the room. I like Hegseth when I hear him talk. I love seeing the videos of him running with the troops. It's pretty cool. He seems like a guy that, like, if we sat down and had some beers, it would be a good time. Now, when you put him in charge of anything, it seems like it's just always incompetence after incompetence and after incompetence. And that's not to say that the Joe Biden officials were any more competent. They weren't. But this just seems to be a consistent highlight here. So United States Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Dan Kane have responded to leaked intelligence reports suggesting the military strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities likely put the country back by mere months. In a Thursday morning news conference from the Pentagon, the two officials maintained that Iran's nuclear program has been destroyed, echoing President Donald Trump's version of events. But that contradicted a preliminary report produced by Defense Intelligence Agency saying the June 22nd bombing campaign was a relatively minor setback for Iran nuclear capabilities, which could be restored within months. President Trump delivered the most complex and secretive military operation in history, and it was a resounding success, resulting in a ceasefire agreement and the end of the 12-day war. I don't know that there's been any kind of lasting ceasefire because we keep getting all these different reports. And I'm surprised like Trump doesn't know this by now, but I think probably all the listeners know this, that if you give Israel the demand to go to a ceasefire, they're going to break it every single time. Every single ceasefire Israel gets into, they break the motherfucker. Tell them you have a ceasefire and you have a ceasefire right now. You are stopping and we are going to figure this out. They never listen. And they spit in Trump's face all the time. And what's he do? He sounds pissed off. I wish I had the video loaded up, but he said they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't. And you're not helping. You're making it worse. Yeah. Israel's so gay. Even their wars are gay. Yeah. Yeah. They just don't stop. They just don't stop. You can't get them to stop. So anyways, we'll continue on reading here. Because of decisive military action, President Trump created the conditions to end the war, decimating, to use your word, obliterating, destroying Iran's nuclear capabilities. Drawing reliable conclusions about the effect of the U.S. airstrikes is difficult only days after they took place. President Trump has insisted, however, that the U.S. strikes delivered a devastating attack. He also told reporters that questioning his assessment of the strike was not only unpatriotic, but also made the pilots who dropped the bombs very upset. While Hegseth and Cain spoke, Trump encouraged his followers on the platform of Truth Social to watch their remarks, calling it one of the greatest, most professional, and most confirming news conferences I've ever seen. So the other thing that I want to point out here is that Trump had actually went back it was Monday night, right? They were saying, oh, we got a ceasefire. This is great. And then Iranian officials came out and said, we never agreed to a ceasefire. So Trump lied about this. What I've kind of noticed over the last couple of weeks, and this is the way that you kind of have to look at the way that Trump talks and everything going on right now. And this is so frustrating because if you're a mild Spurg like me, right, you hear what somebody says, and then there's follow through. And you can reliably determine behavior from the words they say. Trump is not like that. He is all over the board. And I think it's just so that way he confuses absolutely everybody and nobody knows how to take him. It's kind of like this whole idea of the madman, right? You don't know if we're actually going to bomb the shit out of you. You don't know if we're going to hit the nuclear button. We're just going to say a bunch of stuff. We're going to be all over the board. And then hopefully something good comes out of it. That doesn't seem to always be the case. Because what happened here is that there was no ceasefire. Trump kept saying, it seemed like in the first week, right? I was actually starting to get pretty hopeful. When I had Connor on and we talked about this, I actually didn't fully agree with his perspective. Now I do, unfortunately. I was proven wrong. But it didn't seem entirely apparent to me that Trump was immediately going to strike strike Iran. My buddy Typo and I, my co-host on 5 Till Midnight and dear friend of mine, we would kind of have a little bit of back and forth about this. He said, Trump has let Israel get struck. Now, that's not entirely true because the U.S. did repel some of the missiles that were coming into Israel, but they weren't immediately jumping to their defense. If you would have asked me a year ago, Trump would have went in there and annihilated Iran, right? This is where I began to change my mind. Trump didn't immediately go to the defense of Israel within like a day or two of Israel getting struck. He gave it about a week or so. And then we bomb the shit out of Iran. So at that point, I was like, all right, I see what's going on here. Nope. He's still the Shabbos goy that we all kind of made fun of him for being. He is still Netanyahu's boy. I was beginning to believe that there was a rift there. People are saying still that there's anger and that Trump's pissed off at Netanyahu. And hey, I hope to be proven wrong tomorrow. I do. Doesn't quite look like it. We keep hearing all these reports of Trump and Netanyahu really don't like each other. But the net result is that he's still continuing to give Netanyahu what he wants. If there was a rift here, you would think that he wouldn't be getting what he wants. I'm just pointing out the reality here. So to the point, you can't necessarily always follow what Trump says. The same deal goes for regime change, right? Trump said, we want regime change in Iran. And then a week or two later, all of a sudden he's saying, oh, no, we actually don't want regime change in Iran. He talks about Jerome Powell and calls him a loser, calls him too slow. And then just today, you see Elizabeth Warren come out and say, oh, actually, it's Trump that is fighting interest rates from going lower, even though he keeps saying that he wants Powell to cut. All over the board, you got to pay attention to policy and the net result of things. If Trump really wanted interest rates lower, you don't think he could do it? I think he could pressure Powell right now to lower rates if he really wanted it. Anyways, long way to say, just don't pay attention to what Trump always says. Pay attention to what he does, which seems intuitive, but it isn't always intuitive to me, at least. Anyways, going back to the article from Al Jazeera, he also wrote that news outlets like the New York Times, CNN would be firing the reporters who made up fake stories on the Iran bombing campaign, though there is no evidence to support that assertion. A day earlier on Wednesday, the CIA director John Ratcliffe said the U.S. attacks on Iran caused severe damage to Tehran's nuclear program. New intelligence from historically reliable methods had shown that several key Iranian nuclear facilities were destroyed and would have to be rebuilt over the course of years, Ratcliffe said in a statement which lacked further details. The military assessment, the June 22nd bombing campaign marked the U.S.'s only direct intervention in what Trump has dubbed the 12-day war between Iran and Israel. The conflict started on June 13th when Israel launched a series of attacks on military targets in Iran, killing several generals and scientists in its nuclear program. Israel argued that the attacks were necessary to hobble Iran's efforts to obtain a nuclear weapon. Iran, meanwhile, has maintained that it has never sought to create a nuclear weapon and instead used its nuclear enrichment program to create civilian energy. It responded with a missile barrage of its own against Israel. So I guess the only thing I would push back on in this article, just so that way nobody can say that I'm taking the Ayatollah at their word, right? That I only believe the Muslims and, oh, all this, you know, BS. They are enriching uranium to 60%. For them to have all their civilian nuclear capabilities, they only need to enrich to like 5%, right? Which under the JCPOA, they limited their enrichment to 3.67%. That was enough for their civilian nuclear program that powers all the medical supplies and gives them what they feel is their autonomous right to nuclear enrichment. They're enriching to 60%. Do I think they're going to make a nuke? No. Does Tulsi Gabbard think they're going to make a nuke? No. But although right now she's saying that she does because it benefits her career. Are they actually going to do it? No. Because if they were, and if they had nukes, we would have never struck them. Because we don't fuck with countries with nuclear weapons. Anyways. Sorry, let me put this back up there. The U.S. has long been an ardent ally of Israel, but in the early days of the conflict, Trump avoided committing the U.S. to any direct involvement. That changed on June 22nd when he sent B-2 bombers to drop bunker buster munitions on three Iranian nuclear sites, including Fordow. A ceasefire was declared a few days later, but questions have endured about the efficacy of the U.S.'s intervention. On Thursday, Hegseth Kane sought to put those questions to rest with a forceful presentation. Sitting in front of a poster with Iran's Fordow facility, Kane gave reporters a walkthrough of the bombs used in the attack, how the mission was carried out, and who comprised the bomber crews. He also played a video of one of the bunker-busting bombs in action. All six weapons at each vent at the Fordow went exactly where they were intended to go, Kane said. He then offered a breakdown of what gave the U.S. military confidence about the success of its mission. Here's what we know following the attacks and the strikes on Fordow. He said first that the weapons were built, tested, and loaded properly. Two, the weapons were released on speed and on parameter. Three, the weapons were all guided in their intended target and intended aim points. Four, the weapons functioned as designed, meaning they explode. I don't think it's necessary. Basically, this is just talking about how Hegseth yelled at the media. Ambiguity remains. Maybe this will give us a little bit more clarity. Still, there have been conflicting reports about just how much damage was sustained by Iran's nuclear program. The Financial Times on Thursday published a report saying that European governments had assessed that Iran's uranium stockpile had been redistributed to sites outside of Fordow before the attack. In his first public comments since the war began, Iran's supreme leader Ali Khamenei also said on Thursday that Trump overstated the results of the strikes. The American president exaggerated the events in unusual ways, Khamenei said, adding that the U.S. gained nothing from this war. By his account, the U.S. bombing campaign did nothing significant to Iran's nuclear facilities. While Thursday's briefing with Hegseth and Kane details about the weaponry used in June 22nd attacks, analysts say it lacked evidence to justify the Trump administration's assertions. The presser on U.S. strikes on Iran was an orchestrated narrative, very much focused on the storytelling, said Al Jazeera correspondent Patty Kulane. I don't think we know the actual facts of the matter yet. They say they detailed how many bombs were dropped and how they went through the ventilation shafts, but they didn't share any actual evidence that the facility was, in their words, obliterated. So were the facilities actually destroyed? I don't know. I think it's probably safe to assume that they probably did some damage and that Iran is not happy. But are the facilities absolutely destroyed, mowed down? I don't know. It's tough to say. I think that Trump really wanted to celebrate a win and claim that he struck Iran, hit them like they've never been hit before, right? But who knows? So anyways, I wanted to read a poem. Somebody had sent this over to me, and I just thought it was funny, so I'm going to read it. He had told me what it was, but I'm just not going to try to pronounce it. Dirty, dirty laundry. The Netanyahus now are back in town. His Excellency and his frumpish queen with so much laundry that it weighs them down, and U.S. taxpayers will wash it clean. As common courtesy for heads of state, a stock amenity that's seldom used except Bibi and his shameless mate. And never has this perk been so abused. This time the dirty laundry, dumped, stacked, has bloody prints and stains you won't believe, such rancid horrors in the bags they packed and carried all the way from Tel Aviv. No worries, though, because concerning that, the U.S. Congress is their laundromat. From V. McKenna, thank you so much for that, actually. I think that's very funny. And, you know, just a shout out to him. So I guess while I'm knocking Trump, there was a little bit of good news, and I want to share that with you guys now from America First Post. Trump says, let me make sure this, yeah, it did. Trump says the big, beautiful bill will mandate at least 1 million deportations per year, remittance taxes, and a full, complete border wall. Do I think this is actually going to happen? Nah, I'm skeptical, but let's hear Trump out.
We're going to fully fund the final sections of border wall, impose a new remittance tax on money sent back to foreign countries, and dramatically increase deportations to a bare minimum of 1 million illegal aliens per year. And what we're doing is we're really going after the criminal aliens, of which we have plenty to work with. People say, well, that's a lot, isn't it? It's well, remember, these countries are very smart. They're headed up by people I know. In almost all cases, they're very smart, smart people. And they have the people of great common sense. They're not sending their good people out. They're sending the bad people out. And
it just reminds me, they're not sending their best. They're sending all these, you know, I there's certain words you can't say on YouTube, but yeah.
They put them into caravans. I think I came up with that name, but somebody did. It's a great name, a caravan. Thousands and sometimes as many as 30,000 people walking right into our country. Again, last month we had none. Think of that. It's almost, people say it's almost impossible.
Do I believe that there are actually no people coming across the border? I'm going to be honest. I don't think that's true. So who knows? It's so hard to say. So there's a couple more things I wanted to cover. Hopefully everybody's doing well. And please, if you're listening right now, like the video, that button down there, like it, leave a comment, leave a super chat, and leave a thumbs up. Greatly appreciate it. It's going to help me out. Goodman Show announcement. The old lady's going to be taking off work here in a few weeks because we are expecting our daughter very, very shortly. Could be more excited for that. And I want to give a huge shout out to all the people who bought stuff off our baby registry. I didn't make that public because I would feel pretty gross if I was asking all my followers to buy stuff for my child. That's what family and friends are for. Although I consider all my listeners friends, I just feel a certain way about asking you guys to just buy stuff that's pretty personal. But you can always support me by sending a super chat or one more time becoming a channel member for the lowly price of $2.99 a month, and that will get you uncensored and unedited podcasts, as well as all the footage from A Common Crown that I can possibly record. So make sure you, you know, check that out if that's something that tickles your fancy. Anyways, let's go to another one from the America First Post. And this is regarding the Israel-Gaza war. So let me read this to you guys and give a little bit of context and my thoughts. President Trump has brokered a comprehensive agreement to end hostilities in Gaza within 2 weeks. Okay, one more time. You never trust Israel to go longer than any time at all, because if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. You could put money on it. He says this is a ceasefire and all this stuff. It's just not going to happen. So President Trump has brokered a comprehensive agreement to end hostilities in Gaza within 2 weeks. Under the plan, Hamas will be removed from power and replaced by a joint Arab administrative body composed of Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and two additional Arab nations. Remaining Hamas leadership will be exiled and all hostages are to be released. Multiple countries have agreed to accept large numbers of Gazan residents seeking voluntary emigration. Or in other words, they're going to ethnically cleanse Gazans from their homes, which is exactly what the Israelis want. The deal also expands the Abraham Accords with Saudi Arabia, Syria, and other Arab and Muslim nations agreeing to recognize Israel and establish diplomatic relations. Notice how Syria is in there, and that would have never happened under Assad. And then all of a sudden, Trump's meeting with al-Jalani. Wonder why that is. In parallel, Israel has expressed conditional openness to a future two-state solution contingent upon significant reforms within the Palestinian Authority. As part of the agreement, the United States will recognize limited Israeli sovereignty in portions of the West Bank. And if you look back to Trump's first presidency, he did a lot for Israel in regards to the West Bank. This is kind of what I think a lot of us thought was going to happen. Trump may get a little bit of a ceasefire and give the Israelis a little bit of what they want in Gaza, or in the West Bank, but he's going to try to push them a little bit on Gaza. We'll see what happens. I think a lot of this stuff seems to be a pipe dream, but about 31 minutes in, one more time, everybody, please like the video. I hope you all are doing well. Let me run an ad real quick and I will get right back to you guys. All right, we're going to take a second a day to chill and tell you about the show's sponsors, Tiger Fitness. Make sure you go to the link below to get all the supplements that I use day in, day out, and beyond. As I always say, you do not need supplements to become all jacked and tan or to progress in your health journey, but they can definitely be a useful tool in that respect. So as you can see on tigerfitness.com, we got MTS Nutrition, Blackstone Labs, Ambrosia, HPN, Nutrix Research, America Labs, Alani Nu, Pump Chasers, there's Redcon One, Accent Sledge, plenty of different companies that pretty much have absolutely any supplement you could possibly think of. Pre-workouts, fat burners, BCAAs, electrolyte mixes, you name it, it's on there. So go to Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout to let them know that I sent you. Get your protein powder, you name it, anything that's going to help you stick to your diet and hopefully achieve your health goals. All right, thanks. Back to the show.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right. So I wanted to share this, and this is this Megatron Ron account is a slop account. They pump out bullshit all the time. And this article is, or the way they phrase this is a perfect example of bullshit, right? So I'm going to read this and then we're going to go to an article that was sent to me by Dave DeCamp. And I know you guys are going to read about it, but it's just the facts of the matter. So Megatron Ron, Trump considering to offer Iran $30 billion and other benefits for Iran to give up a nuclear bomb, which once again, he's referring to a specific article that doesn't necessarily say this. And we're going to read that here in a minute. The Trump administration is reportedly discussing the possibility of providing Iran with $30 billion to build a civilian energy-producing nuclear program. He's also ready to ease sanctions. He put a typo here. He's also ready to easing sanctions and freeing up billions of dollars in restricted Iranian funds as part of a plan to de-escalate tensions with Iran. Okay. Let's start with how they frame this, right? Because this matters, and this is something that I notice consistently whenever you're analyzing the way that you see accounts talking about Iran. Whenever they talk about boatloads of cash that Obama gave to Iran, right? Let's go all the way back to the JCPOA back in 2015. When they say he gave boatloads of cash to Iran, what they're always talking about is actually unfrozen funds, right? We stole, I don't remember how much money, but I mean, it was a lot of money from Iran. Back in the 80s, if I remember. we're essentially giving them their stolen funds, right? And the other thing they tend to do is that they'll estimate how much money they're going to make in sanctions relief and say that that's giving them money. Do you see how like manipulative that is? It's not us giving them money. It's giving them their money, or you're giving them sanctions relief, which we should never have sanctions on a country in the first place. Let me read this comment real quick. Was told they could recall an army medic up to age, whatever. No, you cannot get me into a war. One was too many because war is hell. Men are not feeling patriotic as let Congress fight. Hell yeah, man. I completely agree. And you know they never will. We are the ones that die for them. The people like you, the people like me, the young, generally white males who do everything, as Dark Enlightenment and I talked about last night, who do the bulk of the work that maintains this country, that keeps this country going forward. We are the ones that are put on the line to die for these wars. That's why you should be opposed to them. And it is always slaughtering the people who cannot help themselves, who cannot protect themselves, generally at the behest of Israel and arms contractors. It's not like it's just Israel, but that's largely what a lot of these Middle Eastern wars have been about. It's been about maintaining Israel's hegemony over the region as a satellite of the U.S. Now, there's a little bit of back and forth here where the U.S. does do a lot to Israel and for Israel, right? But the net result of this always is dead American men. Caravaggio, hope you're doing well. Just my opinion, this is all part of the larger project that's been in the works for decades, didn't pan out as intended, and Trump/US had to improv on the fly to mitigate blowback. If you could elaborate, I would like to discuss this with you a little bit further. So go type up another comment, leave a super chat if you feel so inclined. I would like to kind of get your perspective a little bit more on what you mean, because I've heard people lay out the idea that Trump is trying to put forth a grand bargain, right? Tom Luongo, Pete Quinones, Dexter White, and a few guys got together in the space and are saying that like you won't recognize the world in 48 hours, right? This was a couple weeks ago. Still hasn't happened. We'll see how this all plays out. Maybe they'll be right. Maybe I'll be wrong. But it kind of seems like what's going to happen here is that that Iran and Israel can continue to fight. And maybe the U.S. will still do drone strikes. But I don't think there's going to be much more U.S. involvement other than maybe the occasional, you know, supplying munitions and arms to Israel. I don't think you're going to see U.S. troops on the ground in Iran. I think they know that that's a losing battle. And I don't think Trump wants to destroy his legacy in this respect. So... who knows, but I don't think that this is going to be like a nothing burger. So to the title of the show, Nothing Happens or Escalation, I'm leaning towards escalation, but I don't think it's going to be like World War III, right? People who say, oh, World War III, let's breathe a little bit. Or could we get there? Yeah, absolutely. But are we going there right now? I think it's a little irresponsible to just jump up and down and start screaming about that kind of stuff. Just my opinion, you know, reasonable people can disagree here. So let's go to the article that slop account Megatron Ron was talking about here. Now, once again, this is just diplomatic talks with Ron. None of this stuff is set in stone. We'll read through this here. Details emerge of secret diplomatic efforts to restart Iran talks. The Trump administration has discussed possibly helping Iran access. See right here, helping Iran access as much $30 billion to build a civilian energy producing nuclear program, easing sanctions and freeing up billions of dollars in restricted Iranian funds, all part of an intensifying attempt to bring Tehran back to the negotiating table. Four sources familiar with the matter said, let me make sure that you guys can read this. Yeah, that's pretty small. So let me zoom in a little bit. If you ask me, I think you're kind of nuts if you're the Iranians and you just got bombed by the U.S. and now they're saying, hey, come back to the table. Let's talk. I would I wouldn't want to negotiate with the U.S. at this point. Key players from the Middle East, from the U.S. and the Middle East, I apologize, have talked with Iranians behind the scenes, even amid a flurry of military strikes in Iran and Israel over the past 2 weeks, the sources said. Those discussions have continued this week after a ceasefire deal was struck, the sources said. Trump administration officials emphasize that several proposals have been floated. They are preliminary and evolving with one consistent non-negotiable. Zero Iranian enrichment of uranium, which Iran has consistently said it needs, but at least one preliminary draft proposal described by CNN by two sources includes several incentives for Iran. Some details were hashed out in a secret hours-long meeting between U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Gulf partners at the White House last Friday before the U.S. military strikes against Iran, two sources familiar with the meeting told CNN. Among the terms being discussed, which have not been previously reported, is an estimated $20 to $30 billion investment in a new Iranian non-enrichment nuclear program that would be used for civilian energy purposes, Trump administration officials and sources familiar with the proposal told CNN. One official insisted that money would not come directly from the U.S., which prefers its Arab partners to foot the bill. Investment in Iran's nuclear facilities has been discussed in previous rounds of nuclear talks in recent months. The U.S. is willing to lead these talks with Iran, the Trump administration official told CNN, and someone is going to need to pay for the nuclear program to be built, but we will not make that commitment. All right. So one more time, you're seeing how they're kind of shaping this. Okay, Caravaggio, let me get back to your comment here. You can hear my dog barking downstairs. He just never shuts up. Operation Clean Break. The regime change narrative was a big play. Allegedly, the initial attack was carried out by immigrants inside Iran using drones as opposed to the reported airstrikes. Yeah, I'm pretty skeptical. I've not heard any of that. I don't know of any evidence of that. I don't think Trump would boast about drone strikes on Iran if he didn't do it. Maybe there's something you're seeing that I'm not, but the idea that immigrants carried out an attack in Iran and Trump would just take credit for it when you actually have a pretty consistent record. And I know I joked about like the whole group chat message going out to all the conservative influencers being that Trump's been incredibly consistent on this issue. And he actually has been. Trump's consistently said Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. In my opinion, Trump had struck Iran based on a lie. And that lie was that Iran is building a nuclear weapon. They weren't, and Trump had struck them anyways. Now, Caravaggio, your point is that it was immigrants that did it, and Trump's just taking credit for it. Or at least, correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems to be the gist of what you're saying, at least the way that I understand it. I see no evidence of that. Could it be? Sure, but there's no evidence of that, at least to my knowledge at this time. So, who knows? Iran has uranium mines. If you don't let them enrich, they'll just closer to Russia or China who can, English. I think you meant to say, Iran has uranium mines. If you don't let them enrich, they'll just get closer to Russia and China who can do it for them. If nothing else, just for the economics. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. And we're seeing that Russia is kind of leaning into Iran a little bit. Who knows how much they say that they're going to stick up for Iran, but to me, it's not entirely clear that Russia is going to jump to Iran's defense right now. They haven't, so we'll see what they do. Yeah, that's all right, man. I'm talking about the initial attack that the Israelis did. There's questions around the U.S. airstrike and the nuclear facilities too, though. Okay, I got you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm guessing what you're saying is that like people from the U.S., U.S.-Israeli dual citizens may have did those initial strikes. Okay, gotcha. That makes more sense now. Okay. The questions around, we kind of covered that here in the show today, is that we don't really know the extent of what damage the strikes actually did. I think that they probably did do some damage, but I don't think they completely destroyed Iran's nuclear facilities. So, yeah, we'll just kind of have to see how this all plays out. If you ask me, I think they're going to continue down the path of escalation, but it's not going to be like World War III. Other incentives include potentially removing some sanctions and allowing Iran or on Iran and allowing Tehran to access $6 billion currently sitting in foreign bank accounts that is restricted from freely using, according to the draft described to CNN. Another idea floated last week that is currently being considered for the U.S.-backed allies in the Gulf to pay to replace the Fordow nuclear facility, which the U.S. hit with bunker buster bombs over the weekend with the non-enrichment program, two sources familiar with the matter said. It was not immediately clear if Iran would be able to use the site itself, nor was it clear how seriously that proposal was being considered. There are a lot of ideas being thrown around by different people, and a lot of them are trying to be creative. I think it's entirely uncertain what will happen here, said a separate source familiar with the first five rounds of talks between the U.S. and Iran that occurred before the Israeli and U.S. strike on Iran's nuclear program. And yeah, I mean, I think like the entire thing right now is like, who the hell knows? Nobody knows what's going to happen because they've been all over the board. It seemed like Trump was pretty pissed off at the Israelis, but then he did a strike completely at their behest. I mean, this was literally for nobody other than to benefit Israel. So is he going to leave them out to dry? Who knows? Allegedly, it was Afghanis inside Iran that carried out the attacks from the inside. 70 Indian immigrants were arrested immediately after two. There's so much BS being pushed, it's impossible to say. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And that's, in case you haven't noticed throughout this entire show, nobody knows what's going on. Myself included. I've been listening to Dave DeCamp, Scott Horton, Tom Luongo a little bit. I try to get a diverse source of people in my ear at all times to try and triangulate on what the truth is. It's still so blurry. There's a lot of fog of war, if you will. And Trump is just all over the place. It's so hard to follow. It's such a disaster. They're saying that they're pursuing these Abraham Accords 2.0. And we know how that ended on October 7th, right? You can't just ignore the Palestinians for so long. Although it kind of seems like this time they're trying to pay like at least lip service to the Palestinians and they're trying to do something there, but who knows? Anyways, let me continue reading from this article. Witkoff told CNBC on Wednesday that the U.S. is seeking a comprehensive peace agreement, and a Trump administration official emphasized that of all the proposals are designed to stop Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. The U.S. has said that Iran may have a nuclear program for peaceful civilian purposes, but that it cannot enrich uranium for that program. Instead, the U.S. has suggested that Iran could import enriched uranium. Witkoff likened the potential program to that of the UAE. Now, the issue in the conversation with Iran is going to be, how do we rebuild a better civilian nuclear program? Sorry. A few that is non-enrichable, he told CNBC. The administration may have the opportunity to present a term sheet to the Iranians. President Donald Trump on Wednesday said the U.S. and Iran would be sitting down next week through Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmail Baghi. Said he was not aware of the talks next week. And people involved with the planning said the details were still being worked out. It's so funny because this seems to be a consistent theme with the Trump administration. They're always saying this, and the Iranian officials are like, yeah, dude, we don't know what's going on here. Sources familiar with the discussions told CNN that no dates have been set yet. Despite the fervent diplomacy led by Witkoff behind the scenes, Trump this week publicly downplayed the necessity of a nuclear agreement, saying on Wednesday that he believed such an agreement was not necessary. I don't care if I have an agreement or not, he said. While the president seemed publicly indifferent to hashing out a new deal after clinching a ceasefire agreement, many of his advisors believe the pursuit of a longer-term deal will ensure the ceasefire has longevity. The terms that were developed in Witkoff's secret meeting have been the subject of continued discussion between the U.S. and Iran through regional interlocutors. Can use a different word, primarily the Qataris in recent days. Qatar also played a key role in brokering the fragile ceasefire between Israel and Iran earlier this week and will be working very closely with the U.S. to ensure that fighting between them will not resume, one of the sources added. U.S. hopes strikes will prompt a deal. And this is kind of like where we get to fucking for virginity. I would not trust the U.S. if I were Iran. You send somebody over there, you have a whole bunch of talks, and then the U.S. bombs you. The only strike we did that really fucked with Iran was Soleimani, right? No, granted, there were tons of other strikes that Israel and the U.S. carried out that kind of affected Iran in like different ways, but not like a direct strike on Iran. The fact that Trump did that, very, very bad. I think Dave and the other people were right to call for his impeachment. Send him to The Hague with the rest of the presidents. That's my opinion. And obviously, he should have already been sent there for the crimes against the people of Yemen and Gaza and all the other Middle Eastern strikes, Somalia. I mean, the U.S. has really gone after Somalia. Yeah, I think there were like 20 or 30 strikes already. My dog's carrying a blanket into the room, and I don't know why. Anyways, I think that's him trying to tell me that I should finish up. So let me get back to this article, and we'll wrap up here in a few minutes. There's hope within the Trump administration that after the events of the past 2 weeks, Iran is more likely to cede to the U.S. conditions and halt efforts that could bring it closer to developing a nuclear weapon. But Iranian experts cite the possible scenario that the Iranian regime may now decide that it needs a nuclear weapon. Earlier in the week, the Iranian parliament approved legislation to end cooperation with the UN's nuclear watchdog, signaling a desire to further conceal their nuclear program, which basically this is them saying, screw you to the IAEA, which can't blame them. Prior to Israel's military operation against Iran, roughly 2 weeks ago, the U.S. and Iranians had held five rounds of negotiations trying to reach a framework for a new nuclear deal. The U.S. had presented a proposal to Tehran, and Iran was expected to respond during a planned sixth round of negotiations in Amman. Those talks were scuttled by Israel's attacks on Iran. On Saturday, ahead of U.S. strikes on three of Iran's nuclear sites, Trump administration communicated with Iran through intermediaries. The message was twofold. Forthcoming U.S. strikes would be contained, but also that the U.S. term for diplomatic deal with Iran were clear and simple. No uranium enrichment, sources said. And Trump has consistently said that they cannot have nuclear weapons and therefore no enrichment. Trump has been circumspect about the prospects of a deal, telling reporters that announcing talks with Iran next week, we may sign an agreement. I don't know. I could get a statement that they're not going to go nuclear. We're probably going to ask for that. The president added that his administration would be asking for the same type of commitments they sought in negotiations with Iran prior to the most recent conflict between Israel and Iran. The only thing we'd be asking for is what we were asking for before. He wants no nuclear. Marco Rubio, who also serves as national security advisor, said Wednesday that any such deal would depend on Iran's willingness to negotiate directly with the U.S., not through intermediaries. We'd love to have peaceful relations with any country in the world. And so obviously that will depend on Iran's willingness not to just engage in peace, but to negotiate directly with the United States, not through third country or fourth country processes. Rubio said at a press conference alongside Trump in The Hague, and they should stay there. Witkoff on Wednesday said there are signs that an agreement can be reached. We're having conversations with the Iranians. There are multiple interlocutors reaching out to us, he told CNBC. I think that they are ready. Do I think they're actually going to come back to the negotiating table? Maybe, because I think Iran is pretty diplomatic, but I don't know, man. It's not looking good. Trump's saying a lot of stuff. He says he's got a deal. He said that they're good for it, but I don't know. So I think we're going to wrap there. Everybody, thank you so much for watching today. Check out the show this Sunday. I will be having Meta Prime on, and we're going to be talking about mostly building and community networking, all that good stuff. Much, much less political. So yeah, I think that's it for tonight. I did Tommy Salmon's show recently. Haven't been on 5 till midnight because I've been super busy lately, but I will be off next weekend for a decent bit. I have another guest who's been on the show before planning, so lots of good stuff coming up. Make sure you check out A Common Crown. Go to all the links below. Use code Kyle at checkout when you go to tigerfitness.com to get you a little discount, and also let them know that I sent you. And until Sunday, everybody, this has been In Liberty and Health. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Be safe out there and stay jacked and tan. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.